Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's continue to remember Brother Ray in prayer that his lungs would be strengthened now. And remember Brother Wall in Haiti. Lord would protect him. Ephesians chapter 1. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the freedom to even be here this morning.
Amen.
Father, we thank you more than that for the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For giving us our sins. Mm-hmm. Father, we do pray for these. Thank you, Brother Ray. Thank you, Brother Wall. Thank you, dear folks here that have been struggling with physical needs. Give health and strength, Father, but most of all, our desire is that there would be spiritual healing in our country this morning, our leaders' lives, Father, that you would bless them. Father, as we look into your word, we ask that you would give Pastor wisdom, give him the words to say. Father, give us the hearts that are willing to listen and apply it to our lives. His guide and direct now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, we've looked at life as a mission from God. Life is provision from God. And now we've been looking at life as blessings from God. We're down to the point number 2 there. He hath chosen and loved us. He hath chosen and loved us in the first part of verse 4. Imagine if when you were young, just a little tight, and in your area there was a beautiful scenic spot, beautiful hills and rolling valleys. And suppose as a young lady you had said to your friends, one day I'm going to build a house on that hill over yonder that overlooks that beautiful valley. And I'm gonna live in that house someday. And as a little girl, you would describe the house. Maybe it would be a certain style and maybe surrounded by porches, you know, where in the evening or in the morning you could sit out there and look over the valley or the other spots there. And so your little friends would say, yeah, sure you are. Sure you are. Yeah, you're going to build a house there. Yeah. You know how dreams go that little children have. Well, one day, you had graduated from school, and some years had passed, and a for sale sign went up there. The elderly couple that owned all that property was selling their property, and in just a few days, a sold sign went up. And inside, your heart kind of sank because, I don't know, it was kind of a crazy dream, but you just thought of owning that property someday, but it didn't seem to work out for you. And so then someone started building a house on that property and on the exact hill that you had thought of. And just in the same spot, and the house was turned just the same way that in your mind that you would have turned it just to see the most beautiful scenic view of the valley. And then as the house took place, you know, when the foundation is in, you can't always tell what the house is going to look like. But as you watched the house go up, it was the same style of house that you had pictured in your mind. And then the siding was installed, and you couldn't believe it. It was the exact color that you had told your little friends about. Yeah, I'm going to build a house on that hill, and it's going to be this certain color, and it's going to have these porches round about so you can look out. And as you were thinking about it, and you think, how can this be? Someone is building a house in the exact spot that I wanted to, the exact style that I talked about, and the same color I had talked about. So you watched the house as it was being in construction, and then it was landscaped beautifully with trees and shrubs and walkways and so on. And But when the house was completed, no one immediately moved in. And so you thought, that is strange. The house is done. I mean, usually people can't wait to get in. I mean, it's done. The landscaping is done. And so 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by, and you think, this is strange. Why would anyone build a house and it's complete? I mean, no carpenters are there anymore, no plumbers, no electricians, no cement guys. It's done. It's finished. Well, then another week went by, and your parents wanted to talk to you. And they said, they took you out to eat, and then they said to you, a certain young man's parents came and talked to us, and he's inquiring about marrying you. And so we want you to spend time in prayer now and see if he's the right one. And so you spend time in prayer, and a couple weeks go by, and you get back with your parents, and you say, well, God seems to be leading in his word that this is the right young man. So I guess my answer would be yes. And so the excitement builds. We've been through this in our families before. The excitement builds. And so you set up a time, and his folks and your folks and you and your groom-to-be all get together to go out to eat and to exchange or to give the engagement ring and to make it official. And so you got together, and, you know, at those times it's hard to even eat because you're so excited. But you get in the car, and so your groom-to-be, your husband-to-be, says, would you mind just closing your eyes, because I want to take you to a scenic spot to give you this ring, but I want it to be a total surprise where we're going. So would you mind closing your eyes? So you close your eyes, and you drive not too far, but you drive, and then you stop, the car stops, and he says, would you continue keeping your eyes closed if you don't mind? It's okay. And so then you're led somewhere, and then up some steps, and then you're told to turn around, and then you're told, open your eyes. And you open your eyes, and you are overlooking a beautiful valley. And then you look what you're standing on. You're standing on a porch of a house. It's the new house that you saw go up on the property you'd always dreamed about having a home. And you say to your husband-to-be, how did you get these people to allow you to do this? It's their brand new house, and how did you ever talk them into this? And your husband-to-be says, this is my house, and I built it for you. And she says, you will never believe this. But this house, I was just a little girl, and I had talked about building a house on this exact same spot, the exact same style you built, and believe it or not, the same color that you chose. And he says, I believe you, because I did my research, and I know all about that, and that's why I built it. I built it for you, just exactly how you dreamed about it. And then you share a verse that's been your favorite verses. Notice in Psalm 37, in verse 4. Then you share what were your favorite verses since you've been little. Psalm 37, in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall what? Bring it to pass. And if we could go back to Ephesians 1:4, in my mind, this is what I think of when I think of the verse that'll be coming up there, Ephesians 1:4. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before what? Before the foundation of the world. Think of it. God chose us before the foundation of the world. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means before God laid the foundation of the world, he was thinking of us. We are his treasure. Before, in my illustration, before that young man ever laid the foundation of that house, the house wasn't his treasure. The house was never his treasure. The house was never his focus. The person was his focus, whom God had led him to ask for a hand in marriage. That was the treasure. And you know what? God's treasure isn't this earth. You know what God's treasure is? You and every person on this earth. That is God's treasure. Before he laid the foundation of the world, he was thinking of you and me and every person that would ever be born. He didn't make us for the earth. He made the earth for us, just like in the illustration. The young man made the house for his wife, not vice versa. The house was never his treasure. This world has never been God's treasure. It's us. But is it vice versa? Is he our treasure? Or is this world our treasure? Notice with me in 1 John 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not what? The world, neither what? The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. The young man didn't build the house and then try to fit his wife to it. The young man, the treasure was the wife. He fit the house to the wife. The porches, the colors was for her. Do we love the world or do we love Christ? Notice in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Should it not be the same with us? If before the foundation of the world, God chose us, then that means we were his treasure all along. He just fitted the earth to what would be inhabitable for us, his treasure. We'll see that in a moment. But in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which, what? Are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, what? On things above, not on things where? On earth. But is that true of us? Is that true? If we could go back to Ephesians 1:4. He chose us before the foundation of the world. That means we are his treasure. He thought of us before the world. But is it true with us? Do we think more of him than of the world? I watch vehicles go by on the road that are rusty and have big holes in them. And I think, what a disappointment that is to people. You know, vehicles are not cheap. Not even used vehicles are cheap. But when you buy a vehicle for thousands of dollars and then it ends up with big rust holes in it, you just feel betrayed, don't you? It's like, I spent all this money for this vehicle and it's rusting to pieces. It can't be our treasure. But are we seeking those things? Let's go then to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. God did not make us for the earth. He made the earth for us, for mankind. Before the foundations of the world, He chose us. Before He ever started with the foundations, He had us in mind. In Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed what? The earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it what? To be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. So that phrase, He formed it to be inhabited. Why do they not find trees on the moon and rivers and oxygen or on Mars or on any of the other planets? Because God didn't create those places to be inhabited. He created the earth, Isaiah 45:18, to be inhabited. So once again, He created the earth with us in mind. He created the earth to be inhabited. Before He laid the foundations of the earth, He chose us. But just imagine you go to all of that work and then people reject Him. He created it for us, and yet mankind as a whole often rejects Him. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, and verse 13, Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and what? Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth where? Unto life, and what? Few there be that find it. But it's not because God hasn't been drawing them. He has. Notice in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation 3:20. It's not, they will not end up in hell because God wanted him there. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and what? Open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. God is knocking. We were at a door yesterday. And I knocked. Actually, it was. Have you ever thought of that when somebody knocks at the door? Is it a knock you want to respond to or not? What if somebody went? You think, who is that? Or if you hear, you think, I got to hurry up and get to the door. Somebody needs me. God is knocking, but are we responding? How are we perceiving the knocking? He wants to come in and sup with us. He wants to fellowship with us. God chose us first. And once again, Ephesians 1:4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. His treasure wasn't the earth. Notice in Psalm 19. And His treasure was not all that He did in the sky, although it's fabulous. It's amazing what He did. I don't know if any of you saw the moon last night, but it was the strangest. It was kind of about up in this direction. And I don't know, it was weird. You know, there's that haze. I don't know if this haze is still from the California fires. It is, okay. But it was kind of weird. The moon, the light pattern on it, I was just thinking, that is strange. I don't think I've ever seen the moon look just like that last night. It was really strange. But in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare what? The glory of God, and the firmament showeth His what? Handiwork. But that wasn't His treasure. I mean, that would be a fabulous treasure, but that wasn't His treasure. Day into day out of speech, and night into night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. We are His treasure. Not even that, all that glory, that beauty in the sky, that's not His treasure. It's us. And notice in 1 John chapter 4, God chose us first. Before the foundation of the world. He chose us first before he started the construction process of this universe. 1 John 4:19. We love him because what? He first loved us. Talk about security. That someone loved us first and sought us, not the reverse. You know that someone loves you when they're the one seeking you first. We love him because he first loved us. Notice in John 3:16. For God, what? So loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. He loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us before he created this universe. He loved us before his Son gave his life on the cross. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can anyone be saved? Yes, it says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice in Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth what? His love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know how it is. In the story that I gave there, the illustration. It's the big official engagement night. So is he going to change the oil on his car and then not change his clothes? No. Is he not going to take a shower for a week before that night? No. Is he going to comb his hair before he gets in the car and leaves? Yes. He wants to be in his best. But do you know what? Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were a mess. A mess. And he looked at us and loved us. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing that God would look at us and still love us, seeing us in all of our wretchedness. You know, as we turn to Psalm 23, Psalm 23 is often used in funerals. I can understand that, but it's, in some ways, it kind of spoils the chapter for just looking at it from a different perspective. How many of you have ever tasted Werner's ginger ale? Wow, I'm surprised. How many of you like Werner's ginger ale? Okay. In our family, when I was a boy, when we had the flu, we drank Werner's ginger ale. It was kind of a settle your stomach, get better again. So you know what I think of now every time when I think of Werner's ginger ale? I think of having the flu. And that's not a pleasant memory, so it's not that I mind the taste. I know it has the ginger in it, which is good for you if your stomach is a little upset. Ginger is good to take. But I would never list that as my favorite soda pop today because I associate it with sickness. And when Psalm 23, I'm afraid sometimes people associate Psalm 23 with death and funerals, so they fail to really get anything out of it. But the fact of the matter is Psalm 23 is all about life. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is what? My shepherd, I shall not want. What does a shepherd do? Right now, we, across from our house, we have a family that has some cattle, has some sheep, and one goat. And so we're watching across the road. They keep moving their grazing spot. And so the shepherd, our neighbors, takes care of the sheep and keeps them in an area where there's food, and so they eat. Well, the Lord is our shepherd if we're saved. But this morning, is he your shepherd? Is he your personal shepherd? Are you a sheep? one of his. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. So his sheep, verse 2 is, what more could you ask? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's abundant food. He leadeth me beside the still waters. A sheep, are you going to get a sheep to drink of waters that are rough and moving? The sheep wants peace to drink, the water. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. That's not a doubt. That's life. That's the right path. Then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You got to think of the sheep's thoughts now. I'm in this valley of the shadow of death. We're in the valley at night. Last night I came home kind of late, and my lights shone on out in the valley or the hillside by our house, and the deer were bedded down, and they're often bedded down right on that hill. It gives them a good perspective to look out over the valley. And here, the sheep are in the valley. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so there might be wolves up in those woods overlooking the valley. Or sometimes in Scripture, there were lions in Israel. There might be lions up in the woods. And so although the sheep are in the valley of the shadow of death, because up on that high ground are the wolves and the lions, they don't fear. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now that rod that the shepherd has will fight against the wolves and lions if need be. But the sheep are not afraid. To the sheep, the rod pictures a comfort. It pictures someone protecting them. The staff. If the lamb falls down in a pit, the shepherd can retrieve the lamb. So those items are of comfort. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of who? Mine enemies. So once again, we think of the wolves out there. They may be watching, but the shepherd is there. He's preparing a table. You're talking about food. Preparing food in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of what? My life. So it's not a chapter of death. It's a chapter of life. Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So God has chosen us. Once again, back in Ephesians 1 and verse 4 there, Ephesians 1, 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What love. Mankind is God's treasure, not this earth. This earth is going to be destroyed one day by fire. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Then as we read on in verse 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? In love. Have we responded that way to God? He chose us before the foundation of the world. He loved us. He gave himself for us. But have we responded in this way that we should be holy and without blame before him in love? Do we love him that much? Now, what would it be vice versa? So the young man, he's ready for the official engagement. I mean, he's taking a shower. He has on his best clothes, and he wants to be his best. But what about his bride-to-be? Is she going to, wear the dress she wore out in the garden yesterday and sweated in and hoed in and pulled potatoes in, and so her dress is dirty, and maybe it's torn. I've been doing some work in our basement. I have some clothes with paint on them. You know, is that how she's going to meet him? No. But how are we going to meet Christ? You know, are we complaining about God's law and his desire for us to be holy? We shouldn't be. It said in verse 4 that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do we love him more than all the things in this world? Do we really? You know, we don't deserve what God has given to us. First John 3 and verse 1. What love God has showed us, but what love have we showed back? 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. When Brother Steve announced this morning it was his daughter Stacy's birthday, he called her Stacy Marie Parfit. And I just thought, in my mind, when you were saying that, Brother Steve, I was thinking, how does that name sound to you, Brother Steve? I mean, do you like it as well as Coy? Stacy Marie Parfit. Some young man stole my daughter and took away my name that I gave her. What's wrong with him, anyway? The thought's just going through my mind. How does that sound to him after all those years saying Stacy Marie Coy? No, Stacy Marie Parfit. Verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Do we deserve that name? No. We don't deserve that name. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. Have you ever noticed sometimes as people age together, as husbands and wives age together, sometimes they actually kind of resemble each other. When my wife and I met, I introduced her to a student teacher. I was in auto shop in high school, and I introduced him, my future wife, to him, and he said, "You look like brother and sister." But have you noticed sometimes, though, as people age together, and maybe it's because of some of the times the same characteristics they take upon, I don't know, and that's not always true, but in this, it's true of God's people. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3 is the key. And every man that hath this hope in him. Do you have that hope in you? Have you repented of your sins and received Christ as your Savior? Have you turned your back on that old way of life and said, "Oh Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross and gave your blood for my sins. I believe that you were buried and rose again. I believe you're coming again." But has it affected the way we live? Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, what? Purifieth himself even as he is pure. Oh, if we are really expecting him, we want to be more like him, do we not? We should. We know he is pure. Are we looking for him? Has it changed our lives? I'm afraid too often today in this world in which we live, we don't want to be like him. We want him to be like us. It's kind of like today. Sometimes people get married and women keep their own name. It would be Stacy Marie Coy Parfit. That's the way it is. But do we want to be called the Son of God, or do we still want to be known as a child of this world? Do we want people to know we're Christians? Do we want the guys at work to really know we are Christians, or do we want to kind of hide that? Do we not want that name badge, you know? Do we not want that title? In Titus 2, in verse 11, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men. God chose his people. That's the treasure. His salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and what? Godly in what? This present world. And this present world is not too godly. Verse 3, looking for what? That blessed hope. What is it? And the glorious what? Appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And it might be today. It might be. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all what? Iniquity, and purify unto himself a what? Peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, this is not peculiar in the sense of weird, strange. This is peculiar in that Christians should be living a life that how that God always ordained for us to live, to be like him. Are we doing that? This morning, the invitation is very simple. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, I cannot guarantee you another hour or another day to live. No one can. Will you receive Christ today? Will you trust him? And then, those who are saved, will we yield our lives to him? He chose us before the foundation of the world. This world is not his treasure, we are. But is it true vice versa? Is he our treasure? You know, sometimes in marriages, sadly, things don't work out too well. And one mate may look at the other mate as the treasure, but it's not reciprocated. And sometimes things don't go too well. But what about us in Christ? Is he our treasure? Are we willing to let him purify our lives to be like him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great love that you would choose us before you even started creating the world. You chose us before the foundation of the world. You created the world with us in mind. You didn't create us with the world in mind. It was us on your heart first. We were your treasure. Father, I pray if there should be any here today who have never been saved, I pray today they would come and say, I want to be saved today. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, please touch our hearts. If this old world has become our treasure instead of you, please speak to our hearts this morning and show us that that's wrong, that's backwards. Lord, please have your way in our hearts now in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn, please, to 166.